all day long. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California. So how is it where you are? What's going on? Live in Southern California, and more specifically, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Welcome to the program. Lots of content. Really good day. Really good show for you. In fact, we've got lots to cover going back to yesterday and a look ahead to the rest of the program today. So let's not waste any time with it. I've got an interview coming up next segment, but if you want to get in, get yourself in the rotation, you want to do that right now. We are running out of time. That smack off is coming up fast. Fast. The field is not set. You can still get in. I want to set that up for you later on. But in the meantime, if you already know what it's about, what you're about, you think you can play your way in, call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. If you don't need to be a part of that program, but you want to weigh in on something else, go ahead and do that. In fact, do whatever the hell you want with that telephone number. Just have a take. Make sure you come strong. If you can make the show better, you're not going to wait. You'll go right to the front of the line. If you don't want to do that, but you just want to mess around with me or the show, do it on Twitter, at Jim Rome. If you want to email the show directly, do that. I mean, some of you are about getting in any way you can. You call, you tweet, you email, you mark up my Facebook page. I'd encourage all of that. That's what it's all there for. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the first interview, Dave Yeager, Sacramento Kings head coach, joins me in about 15 minutes. Tom Verducci joins us, and we talk baseball with him in hour number two. And in the third hour, time to be determined, Larry Kuhn, a salary cap expert, NBA analyst, will be breaking things down for us. So those are the three interviews that I'm looking at. In case you missed it yesterday, a major rule change for the Smack Off, which I will get to in a little while. In the meantime, don't waste time. Pick up the phone, lob me a call, get yourself in. I want to start with the NBA awards. Maybe you saw that last night. It took place last night, and there weren't a lot of surprises. Starting with the MVP. Of course, James Harden took home the MVP award, and he was about the only person there who was surprised by the hardware. Because when he got on stage, he drops this speech that, well, frankly, it didn't really seem like he had rehearsed for.
Wow. All glory to God, man. All glory to God. Wow. Huge shout out to the NBA. NBA and all the legends that paved the way for me to be able to play this game like I do and like I love. Huge shout out to the Rockets, man. The whole city of H-Town, Tillman, Yanyoni, Tad, Daryl, Rafael, you know, all the coaching staff, the training staff, Jason Biles, Keith Jones, Swerve. I know I'm missing somebody. It's off the top, but this is everybody that helped, man, from the equipment guys to the ball boys, you know, everybody that helps to get me to where I want to go. Shout out to my family, my sister, my brother, me, my nephews, and moms. I'm not going to get here. I'm not going to get emotional. I'm not doing all that. But she's my backbone. Good times, bad times.
Yeah, Beard, I think I'll jump in there if you don't mind. Hey, listen, I see it working. If it felt like he was not reading that speech, it's because he was not reading that speech. And the reason he was not reading that speech was because he didn't write a speech. And then asked afterwards, when it was so obvious that he was going to win, why he did not have a speech prepared, he said, quote, and he went with this heat, quote, honestly, because I didn't know. You know, I felt like last year I should have won as well, so I didn't see a difference between last year and this year. If I won it, then I was going to go off the top and try to, you know, show my appreciation to everybody helping me along the way, give respect, and pay my dues, end quote. So that's not exactly a, wow, you know, it's just great to be nominated, but, quote, I didn't know I was going to win because I thought that I should have won last year and I didn't, so whatever. I gotta say, I kind of dig it, actually. Just like I kind of dig that remarkable couch suit that he was wearing. What an amazing look that was. I mean, seriously, I would have been so disappointed if this guy rolled out there in just a simple black suit. Instead, he broke out with something that looked more like cow camouflage. And you know what? It worked. It worked. But it was not Harden's night, even though he was the MVP. The night did not belong to him. Rudy Gobert rocking a serious hot pink suit, won Defensive Player of the Year. Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year, but the night did not belong to either one of them either. No, the night belonged to Bill Russell, Mr. William Felton Russell, civil rights activist, NCAA champion, Olympic champion, 11-time NBA champion, captain of the Boston Celtics. Now, there is precedent for this. After all, at last year's NBA Awards, Russell was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award. It was presented to him by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq O'Neal, Dikembe Mutombo, my dude Alonzo Mourning, and David Robinson. Before accepting the award, Russell pointed at each one of them and dropped this.
I would kick your ass.
Such an amazing moment, legendary moment. How many people on the planet can point at those five legends and say, quote, I would kick your ass and get away with it? I mean, forget get away with it. How many can do it and be right? So you knew last night he'd have something in store for everybody. And he got things started off with a tweet about Anthony Anderson's suit. Hashtag NBA Awards show just getting started. Our host Anthony Anderson is wearing shorts. It looks like he rode in on a chicken with those legs. End quote. It's good. It's solid. It's very solid. But not nearly as solid as when my man Charles Barkley took the stage and he thanked the captain.
Mr. Bill Russell, thank you.
And, of course, Mr. Bill Russell responded by flipping Mr. Charles Barkley off. Yes, Bill Russell, legend of the game, 84 years young, just hit Chuck with the bird. And I could not be prouder or happier. Then he chased that with a tweet, quote, sorry, everyone, I forgot it was live TV, and I can't help myself whenever I see Charles. It is just pure instinct. Oh, and if that weren't enough, he hit the tweet with a hashtag Birdman at the end. And with one gesture and one tweet, the debate is now officially over. There is your GOAT. MJ was awesome. Kobe was awesome. LeBron is awesome. Bill Russell is your national treasure. I mean, you can complain all you want about the NBA Awards not having any drama, and that they should be done closer to the playoffs or in between the regular season and the playoffs when everybody is still debating the winners and still cares. But go ahead and save those complaints. Save those comments. Because as long as Bill Russell is in the building and he's clowning fools, the whole award show is worth it.
I would kick your ass.
You would too. And flip your ass off also. Bill Russell, 84. National treasure. And that guy ripped the entire night. Stole the entire night. 1-800-636-8686. Now, the one guy who was not there last night was LeBron. But just because LeBron was not there doesn't mean that LeBron Watch 2018 took the night off, because it didn't. It did not. I want to cover that a little bit later on. Again, what are you waiting on? Make this show better. 1-800-636-8686. All right, something else I want to talk about with regards to NBA free agency, Paul George. All right, so the sense is maybe LeBron's coming to L.A., although you can see that pendulum kind of swinging back a little bit, right? Maybe he's not coming to L.A. Maybe he's going to stay where he is. But wouldn't that depend, at least in part, on who he could get to come to L.A. with him? We know L.A. has set this thing up brilliantly. I mean, set it up brilliantly. They've got crazy cash that they have to spend. They can get not just one, but two major stars. So if they could get another star, like, I don't know, Paul George, wouldn't that make it that much more likely that LeBron would come? So if you're the Lakers, you better have a plan. Well, apparently they do, and apparently it leaked to Sports Illustrated. And if that's their plan, I wouldn't count on LeBron coming. I'll lay that out. Man, if that really is the script that they were working off of, if that really was their pitch to Paul George, uh-oh! They went with some crazy poetry to try to get this guy in. That's coming up a little bit later on. I do have a smack-off update for you. One, you're running out of time. Two, a major rule change in the event, which I want to reset. Three, I want to talk about some of the players and how they might show up. This tweet, to start the program off, DRod2203 tweets, how do you give the MVP to someone who plays absolutely zero defense? How? They just did. And not only did they just do it, he thought he should have won last year. That's why he didn't come prepared with a speech this year. He's like, why should I play defense if I'm going to win? And why should I prepare a speech if I'm not going to win? And Mac Destin, hey, can we be straight about one thing? The right guy won. The right guy won the MVP. I've got no issue with that at all. Maybe prepare a thought or two if you know you're going to win and everybody except D-Rod and the 925 knows you're going to win. And Mac Destin tweets, so, T.O. is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Jim Rome is not in the Radio Hall of Fame. And LeBron James is not the best basketball player in the world. What's next? Leff and Laguna can't come in the studio on the smack-off? You know the whole thing about LeBron. I mean, theoretically, LeBron could win the MVP every single year. He could win it every single year, and I'd have no issue with that at all. Best player in the world. You're going to argue that there was anybody? I mean, James Harden, the stats were so overwhelming. But if you want to talk about most valuable, it really depends on your criteria, right? James Harden had CP3. LeBron had those fools and slugs that he had to run with, and he got them on his back, and he got them out of the East. So if you want to talk about who's most valuable, we can get into that. But I think in terms of the stats and the year he had, it's pretty hard to argue against James Harden this year. In terms of what's next, Leff and Laguna can't come in the studio on the smack-off, that's true. I had that rule yesterday, the rule change. One major rule change. There are almost no rules to the smack-off except this year, a major rule change. Nobody can storm the studio. Now, if you want, you can call that the Leff and Laguna rule. After all, he's the only guy who's done it. And he did it 2 years in a row. And it worked for him. The rule is not designed to keep him out of the studio. The rule is designed to keep all of you out of the studio. There's enough moving parts on that day and enough going on without the show or the smack-off now going to TV. So I put that rule in effect. And if I'm being really honest, I also put the rule in effect because I heard a number of the other participants say, listen, it's not fair. This guy lives right down the street. He can do that. I would do it, but I can't get on a plane and do it. Or I would do it, but I can't afford to come out there and do it. So he's got an unfair advantage. It's an unlevel playing field. I would argue the strength of the cause would have gotten it done. But I have to admit, in terms of this guy being a showman and in terms of him pulling out all the stops, it certainly didn't help. But now that's not going to be an issue because he can't do it. In fact, nobody can do it. So that's the rule change. If you want to talk about that, go ahead. Just know this. I did not make that rule to keep him out of the studio, and I did not make that rule to placate Mike in Indy. I don't know what the hell Mike in Indy's up to. I still have not heard word one from him since last year's smack-off. Hey, Rome. Harden didn't have any good material prepared when it mattered most. Me neither. Regards, Kook in Dork Collins. Oh, Vadi. Vadi in Pasadena. I guess, quote, Kook in Dork Collins is better than Fluke in Fart Collins. Barely. But barely. Hey, Vadi, you've done your job, man. Just stay down. You don't need to hook anybody else, Vadi. Hey, Rome, did Fabian prep Harden for that post-win interview?
You know.
Deep. You should have done that, actually. That would have been great if he got up there. All glory to God. Neep. Kevin in Greenville.
You know.
That's Fabian.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I may double back and talk about Carmelo Anthony opting in and then getting hooked by some eggs and trolls and haters. I tried to talk yesterday about that workout video with LiAngelo Ball. And I might be in the minority, but I'm going to call fake on that thing. There's no way that guy. I've listened to his dad hype him up. I saw his dad yank him out of UCLA, turn him pro. There is no way that video is real. Well, I got to get out. Dave Yeager's coming up next. Stay tuned. Telephone calls after that. Sacramento Kings head coach Dave Yeager when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Back to work. We're joined right now by the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Finished up his second season with the Kings. A three-time Western Conference Coach of the Month. Sacramento drafted Marvin Bagley III with the second pick overall. Dave Yeager is my guest. Dave, it's great to have you back on the program. How are you?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, good, coach. All right, so I mentioned the team drafted Marvin Bagley III in Thursday's draft. Let me start right there, because during the draft evaluation process, you worked him out. You personally put him in some spots that were designed to make him feel uncomfortable so you could see how he would respond. What were those spots, and then what did you make of his response?
I thought it was interesting. You know, he's a conscientious guy, and what I learned is that he wants to learn, and he wants to be good, and made him do some things that I think were a little bit uncomfortable for him. And he fought through, and you get a guy succeed, it breaks down to his fundamentals of what his footwork is. And, you know, halfway through the workout, he's bent all over. And I said, you know, I don't really care if you make another shot or not. I'm trying to see what you got in your heart and what you got between your ears. And the light went on. He's like, oh, cool. And I really feel he wants to be good. And, guys like that, that love the game and want to be good, they're going to work.
Dave, the thing is, he doesn't want to be good. He wants to be great. And he doesn't want to be great. He wants to be the greatest ever. He said it, quote, I want to be the greatest player to ever play the game of basketball. And I mean that in the most humble way possible, end quote. I mean, it would be easy to take a quote like that and run with it like clickbait. But as a coach, what's your reaction when you hear it?
Yeah, I mean, with a standalone, it kind of comes off a little interesting. But being around him, it's incredibly humble. Very just conscientious and wants to be good with a pure heart. And I love that about him. And I'm looking forward to working with him for sure.
Dave Yeager, my guest. Now, when you look at the game and how it's evolved over the past few years and how bigs have had to evolve, how do you see him fitting into this offense in the future?
Well, I think one thing is, you know, he gets comparisons to Chris Bosh a little bit. And I think, you know, which Chris Bosh, and, you know, he didn't start knocking down threes at an incredible rate until he was at Miami at X number of years into his career. So we want to just, you know, let him be playing face up as much as possible on the perimeter, using his skills. I have no problem with him breaking out. He's a terrific rebounder, pushing the basketball up the floor. But at the same time, you know, with as much switching as going on, he should be able to take a guy his own size, and certainly somebody smaller down in the post area. He gets off the floor incredibly well. He's got a great touch where he gets off and gets his own rebounds and other guys as well, very well. So it's going to be fun, and try not to do too much with him too early. Let him find himself in the league and continue to help him grow.
Sacramento Kings head coach Dave Yeager, my guest. You know, you had a real young team last season, and you knew that. So having worked with this group last year, what are some of the challenges of the transition from college to the NBA that maybe the players themselves aren't even aware of until they get there?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, we talked about it last week. Guys come in, they don't know what they don't know, and they get 35, 40 games in, and that's a full college season, and it's, you know, first week of January, and they know what they need to work on at that point. They know how hard it is. They know what a grind it is. And so at that point, it would be maybe best for them to start their summer. Oh, by the way, there's another 45 or 50 games coming up. And so mentally to fight through that, and physically to take on that challenge. And then they go and work on their game. And now, you know, we didn't make the playoffs, obviously. Guys have been working on their game. And now they're ready to apply that and get back out and show what they've been working on. So, you know, summer league will be a good thing for a lot of our young guys. And same thing, you know, summer gets long when you don't make the playoffs. But before you know it, we'll be in September.
So taking all that into consideration, what does the next step look like for this team?
Well, we're going to be pretty young, and I've tried to protect those guys for the length of the season last year. We had several guys, you know, end up playing 2,000 minutes anyways. I think we played 10,500 minutes or more with our first and second year guys, which has happened five or six times in the last 15 years only. The marathon, as you know, and you talked about. But this year, I think they get the full Monty. They start out right at the jump. And so that's the challenge for second and third year guys now. Like, you got to be a big boy and you got to come to work every single day and every single night and every game. And that is a grind, and you need to go through that, because shorten the season a little bit for them last year so that they could make it to the finish line. And you've got a couple more young guys added, obviously, with Marvin, and now, you know, we've got Harry Giles. Kind of had an injury season last year where we just let him recover his body. A terrific high school player and a great talent, and we're looking forward to seeing him as well.
We're talking to Sacramento Kings head coach Dave Joerger. You know, Dave, one more thought about that pick. I mean, how much consideration did you and the organization give to Luka Doncic, and what ultimately led you to Bagley instead?
Good question. I mean, just, I guess, being around Marvin and, you know, his charisma, he's a quiet leader. Very dynamic, be able to play a lot of positions as the game is changing. I think is this a guy that, you know, I really fell in love with. I know Vlade feels the same way and has done his homework and knows Doncic as well, who's going to have, I think, a very, very productive NBA career. So I don't think you can go wrong with either guy. I think both guys are going to have terrific careers, and we're really excited about the guy we got.
Now, you recorded your 200th career NBA win earlier this season. It's a big number, and even bigger if we go back to the days when you were riding buses in Bismarck, Black Hills, Sioux Falls. Knowing that, what does that number mean to you?
It makes me smile. That's nice of you. Just to have a little bit of longevity and to be in the league and have some success, and the success we had in Memphis, where, you know, Lionel Hollins built that thing up, and I got to learn as much as I did around him, and then take over after that, and then come out here and continue, you know, in a rebuild situation. And we're looking forward to, you know, when these young guys get a little bit older, and you just start rolling and you add a little piece here and there, and away you go. And you know how big it can be up here. So we're excited about the future up here for sure.
You know, Dave, as you got close to 200, you mentioned that you were thinking about some of the guys that you chased to get to the NBA. And these literally are some of my all-time favorite guys. Flip Saunders, George Karl, Phil Jackson, Eric Musselman, Rick Carlisle. Yeah, I'm curious, what did you learn from watching them and the way they approached their journeys?
All I ever wanted to do was carry the flag, so to speak, in the minor leagues and do what they did and see if, gosh darn it, there's a way that I could take that flag, you know, just a little further, and all the success and all the wins that those guys had in the NBA after that. So it's a proud background to come from, and something that I take a great deal of pride in. And I also appreciated that those guys would let us be around, let me be around, let them be a fly on the wall in meetings or be at practice and watch the mindset of Flip Saunders, for example. Everything made sense. You didn't see it till the third step, and you saw the guys have that aha moment. I mean, he was an artist. It was awesome. And to be able to, you know, watch Rick coach when I was a young, Rick Carlisle coach when I was a younger coach and at Indiana, and let me in and just be around and be nice to you and include you, you know, those guys are all my heroes.
And then on the eve of the draft, you hosted a junior Kings basketball camp, and it seems to me there were a whole lot of things that you could be doing 24 hours before the draft. So why was it so important to host a camp? And then what was that experience like, and what did you want the campers to come away from that experience with?
It was fun. It was fun. Yes, I'm not saying that, you know, deals aren't made at 9th of draft day or the day before, but, you know, we wanted to get out there and get some kids out there. And we did like a proof camp for younger kids. So they got all their measurements, you know, their wingspan, their reach, what their vertical was, height, weight, 40 times and stuff like that. And so it just tried to give them an experience of, hey, what goes on behind the curtain that we don't ever see with some of these guys. And it was fun and just a, you know, really good vibe and a lot of energy and, you know, how passionate everybody is up here. It was really cool.
No doubt. Dave, last thought, you know, coaches are looking at the way they work and how they go about that and the need to try and balance work and time away from work. I'm wondering, are you going to find any time to get back to the farm and maybe rip some stuff out of the ground with your tractor?
I was dying for you to ask, man. I'm so fired up to get my chainsaw going, you know.
Right. That's the best.
Yeah, we're excited, you know. The off season, but yet it's already been long. You know, when you're done April 11th, it's already been long, and so everybody takes 2 weeks, 3 weeks off, no matter what you finished in the playoffs or not, and then you get a little antsy to get going. But yeah, to do stuff outside and it just find myself and find some peace, and starting to come together now, and you know, how you can get different guys' shots and how different combinations are going to work with our roster and stuff. And a lot of those moments happen, man, when you're out there doing something different.
I like it. Dave Yeager, the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, getting ready for another season. Just wrapped up a second season with the team. Dave, I appreciate you. And always appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much.
You're the best. Thanks, man.
You too. Dave Yeager, good coach. Really good coach. I love the way he came up. And I think he's in a good spot. And they get the guy they want. Big man. Marvin Bagley III saying, I don't want to be good. I don't want to be great. I want to be the best ever. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so what that means to you is we're now open until the middle of hour number two. An entire hour. I mean, you could drive a truck right through it. What do you want to hit? Do you want to talk about NBA free agency? LeBron watch 2018. Bill Russell going GOAT and lobbing a bird at Charles Barkley. James Harden winning the MVP. Did they get that right? Everybody knew that was going to happen except for the beard, who didn't bother preparing a speech because he puts it, I should have won last year and I didn't. In other words, why waste my time? I'll probably get jammed again. Paul George, is he going to stay in OKC? Maybe he didn't know. Maybe now that he's seen that script that the Lakers were going to drop on him, it might help him make his decision. Remember when that band of D-listers dropped Please Stay LeBron? And remember how I said that LeBron at that point might have been kind of waffling back and forth? And when somebody close to LeBron inevitably went to him and said, Hey, King, I know maybe you're not sure what you want to do. Listen to this. I wasn't there, but I don't think I needed to be to know that LeBron probably said, oh, hell no. Ah! I'm taking my talents out, Beach. I hope
in this fall, I'm gonna take my talents
that this draft and of this pitch, which was leaked to Sports Illustrated, does not have that same effect on Paul George. Hopefully he remembers he was born in Palmdale. In fact, they make that very clear in that poem that they write for him. The Laker fan, you better hope that does not boomerang on you, because the Lakers, under Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson, have done all the right things so far. Well, aside from all that tampering stuff, all the right things. And now this, all that's still ahead. But first, a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. James Harden getting a lot of reaction to last night. He wins the MVP and did not have a speech ready because, as he points out, you know, why should I? I thought that I was going to win last year and I didn't, so why would I think that I was going to win this year? At Phil Ran 12 tweets, Jim, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought that speech was absolutely awesome. Sincerely, bridesmaids. Tyler in Edmonton is in. Tyler in Edmonton is going to be in the smack off this year. He was in last year. One of the guys to watch. He tweets, it's too bad. Matt in Van and I, we're going to do a studio storm as part of our off-season gimmick tour where the gimmicks belong. All right, somebody else trying to hang an asterisk on both of Leff's wins, saying that he's a, quote, gimmicky little bitch. I have not heard Leff's response yet to the so-called Leff in Laguna rule. Again, Leff strikes me as a guy. I have no idea what he was going to do. I know what he's not going to do. He's not coming in this house again. I don't know what he was going to do, but I've got a feeling he's going to want to prove to all of you that he's not, quote, a gimmicky little bitch. And that if this guy wins without that studio storm, it'll be proof, in fact, that he didn't need to do that to win. But he's got to win. This email says, Dear PG, roses are red, violets are blue. We are the Lakers, and we really, really like you. Sign the Lakers. John in Huntington Beach, War Harden, not thanking his orthodontist during his speech because, well, he doesn't have one. Whatever the hell that means, John. You can stop bringing me his emails anytime you want, Hawk. And pick up a pair of headphones, Hawk. Let's go back to Dave Yeager. I thought that was great when Dave Yeager said at the end of the interview, I'm so glad you asked me about my tractor and what crap I could tear out of the ground. Let's go back in our Wayback Machine, Hawk. You know how normally when I ask you something and you have the wrong answer, and by normally I mean pretty much every single day, your standard response is, I'm still learning. I've got to ask you, when we made that station trip to Sacramento, not long after you started here, and we're courtside at a Kings game, we're in the back room where only the owners get to hang out, we're doing a station trip. In fact, the entire Sacramento experience, as you look back on that, what was that like for you?
Oh, that was great. It was my first time hitting the road with you and KTK. Took a bird up from Southern California to Sacramento. Got to hang out with you guys. Got completely outclassed by you guys. I learned quickly how to dress for future appearances with you guys in public.
Didn't you buy a suit for that trip specifically?
I did, but...
And what happened to the suit? Because I know you didn't wear it.
Didn't make the trip because I couldn't figure out how to fold it into my duffel bag without it getting wrinkled, and I don't know how to iron. So I just went with the business...
You don't know how to iron.
I don't. So I just went with the business casual look, and when we got to sit courtside with the owner, it was me...
You don't know how to work an iron.
I don't. No.
All right.
I just don't.
I'm not surprised by that, but all right.
And there's a picture of the four of us
courtside. You know how to work a microwave?
Yeah, I do. I do know how to work...
You know how to hang a suit?
No, is there a proper way?
Hawk, are you kidding me? You don't know how to work an iron? You turn it on and you run it over the clothing back and forth.
I didn't want to burn the suit, so I saved it.
Okay.
Because we had the Super Bowl coming up. But yeah, I got to hang out with you guys and the owner, and there's a picture of the four of us courtside, and you guys are all dressed to the nines, and I look like I just rolled off the street.
Right. Like you do every single day.
Yeah. And it was an awesome...
Was your crap buttoned to the top that day? I don't recall.
Yeah, you tweeted out a picture from the remote broadcast we did at KTHK 1150 Sacramento, and I had my shirt buttoned up, and I've been getting made fun of it ever since.
Do you remember those exceptionally smooth, sleek, rich guys that rolled up on us after the game?
Yeah, I do.
Back in the suite? And do you remember what they said?
May I disclose it on the air?
Yes.
Okay, they came up to you and they said, hey, Jim, they knew who you were, and they said, when are you getting back into town? And you said, I'm getting back into town tomorrow. And they said, well, we'd love to, we could pull you in tonight. We got a private jet, and we're going down to San Diego, and we'd be happy to drop you off on our way.
And do you remember the utterly regrettable thing that I said in response?
You turned down the flight back on the private jet so that you could hang with your crew, your team, me and KTK, and take a Southwest flight back and eat the peanuts with us.
And do you think that maybe as I look back on that, I regret that?
I do, because not only did you not get on the...
I do, for sure.
I believe you regret it not only because you didn't get to get on the private jet and get home early, but we also went to a bar later that night to celebrate the trip, and this was in the middle of dryuary. I had known you for 3 months, and you whipped out the credit card and said, top shelf tonight, boys, it's on me.
Whatever you want is what I said. Guys, you busted your ass, you worked hard, it was a good trip. You know, I'm not even going to sweat that thing that I turned down the trip on a private jet. I don't take a lot of private jets. I'm not even going to sweat turning that down. But fellas, Hawk, you've been here a couple of months, you're doing all right, you're holding your own. KTK, you and I have been together for decades. It's on me. Credit cards on the table, get whatever you want. All right, so I went top shelf. KTK, who was not a big imbiber, went top shelf, and you did what, Hawk?
I opted for the tap water. I was in the middle of a challenge called Dryuary where we don't drink, and it was January 6th, though the challenge had just started, and I really felt like I would be letting down my crew back in Los Angeles if I were to partake.
Yeah, letting down your crew or the guy you work for right now. In terms of full transparency and disclosure, I will admit one thing right now. When you went to the restroom, I turned to KTK and I said, hey, can I fire this cat for that? Well, there's a lot of reasons why I'm going to fire him, but can I fire him for that? He's not having a drink with us because of dryuary.
And when
is
I ran
that a fireable offense?
It is, because I ran that story back to my wife, who was not proud of me. She was actually very... very pissed off, and she said, I can't believe that Jim Rome offered you top shelf whiskey 4 months into the gig and you said no.
And like, you were so stupid, you thought she'd be proud of you, right?
Yeah, like, hey, way to hold strong for everyone in the group, way to turn down this
moment.
She's like,
you did what?
Yeah, she was not happy. She thought that I actually put my job on the line, and then, you know, for the next couple of weeks I became known as the water boy.
Well, I'd love to say, Hawk, that since then you've kind of figured out exactly where you are. You now know the room. You've gotten so much better. And now you understand. I would love to say that, but none of that's true.
It's actually kind of just gotten worse day by day.
Have you learned how to work an iron yet?
Still no to the iron, but I did realize that most hotels have dry cleaning. So if you get there the night before, you can just say, hey, can you guys take care of this for me one day at a time?
Yeah, good move. I so regret that I didn't take that private jet because nobody's offered me a private jet since then. Anyway, Hawk, thanks for nothing. Keep up the bad work.
You bet.
You know, it reminds me way back in the day when I got my first TV gig for ESPN2. And I don't know how, but my attorney, Dave Feldman, the con man, had written into my contract way back then that when I travel, I get first-class airfare. And I didn't want that. Like I didn't want that because that meant exactly what I'm talking about, separating myself from the group. I did not want that. We used to travel with a crew whenever we took the show on the road. And to me, it was like absolutely the worst message ever to send. And incredibly enough, I was not making use of that ticket. I didn't tell Feldman because he would have lost his bleep. But I would sit back with the crew and coach and never give it a second thought because we prepped up and, you know, you got to be with the crew. You got to be with the team. You have to lead from the front. And for whatever reason, I got separated from my crew. I had to stay one extra night for one of the shows and the crew had to be back in L.A. So we got separated. So at that point, I used that first class flight. And that to me was a whole brave new world. You know, I sat down and somebody hit me with a hot towel. Before we took off, somebody hit me with, would you like wine? Can I get you something to drink? I'm like, well, yeah. Would you like some nuts? Yes, please. Hot towel, hot nuts, glass of wine. I got back to the office, and I gathered everybody around. I said, hey, guys, listen, we got to talk about something. Listen, you losers, you're all sitting in the back from now on. I'm riding up front. Hot nuts. Do you know they stick the nuts in the microwave? Do you know they stick that towel in the microwave? Do you know they'll hit you with wine before you take off? Damn. So we had to really hash that out. Here's a pic. Here's my actual tweet. The view from the Wingstop soundstage at I'm Adam Hawk holding it down. Let's see, Hawk. I'm looking at this picture. As shirts go, that's not horrible. But it appears to be buttoned all the way up, right? Okay. That was fun. That Sacramento trip was fun. That was fun, and this is when all you stations hit up KTK and say, well, what about us? How about a trip? The only challenge with the station visits, and I love them. They're awesome. Honestly, they're awesome. We get out of the studio. We take the show on the road. There's a whole different energy to it, a different vibe. The challenge now is we don't travel because we have a TV simulcast. So now I'm locked to this island, which is the best island ever. I love the simulcast. So while I say Sacramento was a great tour stop, check that. Station visit. Let me just say it's not as easy as, hey, you owe us, Rome. Just get your ass out here. I would love to. I want to. Maybe we can work something out, but I can't take the show because the show doesn't travel because now we are a simulcast unless you can emulate all of this. If you can make that happen, maybe so. 1-800-636-8686. Looking ahead to hour number two, I've got Tom Verducci. Also in hour number two, I want to talk more about Smack Off 24. We are less than a month out. Next week is a short week. Well, it is for me, clones. So you literally are running out of time. I am off Monday and Tuesday of next week. The Nation is off Wednesday. Three fewer chances to get in and rip a golden ticket. You are running out of time. So you want to pick up the phone right now and make sure you're in that field. Why do you want to be in the field? Number one, to win the most important event on this show, maybe on any show. Number two, you win that event, you get $5,000. You get $5,000, you do whatever the hell you want with that money. Stacks for you. However, a win like that could be worth more to you than $5,000 if you parlay that into something else the way so many people have. I'm like the original reality show and idol maker. All that.